I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This week's episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast is brought to you by Gunn Street Wiring, a micro-instrument electronics company obsessed with overall quality. That's right, they're a new approach to the guitar wiring market. Because, of course, when it comes to music, there is endless variety. But when it comes to your instruments, wiring, your manufacturer generally gives you one type. However, Gunn Street Wiring put forth a shiny alternative by creating a massive range of different wiring harnesses suitable for every single musical style. They have a beautiful website where you can navigate around selecting your instrument shape, then choosing between 50s modern and hybrid wiring harnesses, and within that, every single different type of harness you can possibly imagine. It's an affordable mod, and if you go with Gunn Street Wiring, it's a mod you simply won't regret. Check them out, gunstreetwiringshop.com.
It's Guitar Nerds Gear of the Year!
Hello and welcome to day four of 2018's Gear of the Year. We are Guitar Nerds. I'm Mark Packham, joined by Matt Knight.
Hello.
Jay Cross.
Hi.
And Joe Branton.
Farewell.
It's getting late in the evening and you're wondering what clothes to wear.
You're wondering now.
And we are 4 days in to our marathon Gear of the Year session. We've already talked about best guitar, best amp, best stomp box, best multi-effect, best other thing. And today we are tackling the best bass thing of 2018, 2018's best product of 2017, and listeners' choice. So much to talk about.
The best and worst categories.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, let's do the worst one first and then we'll get it out of the way.
Yeah, sounds good.
Listener's choice.
Yeah, no. This one is best bass thing. Joe Branton, we're going to rely on you heavy here as being the bass specialist.
Bass related queries.
Let me read the list. There is a little bit of upkeep to do to begin with because we've got essentially four Fender products. We've got Fender American...
American original.
First of all, we've got to talk about the series, the same as we did on the guitars. So the same things happen for bass.
So Fender
is happening.
Player.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fender American Performer.
Yeah.
Fender American Original.
Original. Yeah.
And the other thing that we're talking about is the Fender Rumble Studio.
Yes, of course.
Now, and Joe's been arguing that basses and amps should be different in the bass category.
Because, dear listener, we have cut things down in the other categories because they're individual categories. So it doesn't make sense for us to say, well, let's have three Fender guitars in there and then, you know, other brands only get one because it stands to reason that if one Fender's good, then another one could be good and we'll end up with Fender in the top three. With best bass things, they're all things. So there are amps, there are effects, there are accessories and there are bass guitars all in one thing. And the thing with basses is
you need both a bass and an amp.
Will Fender make 90% of the products for this?
No, that's not true. There's other brands in this. I still think we can only have one product per brand per category.
I think that makes it very, very difficult because the problem is Fender players, which we selected the Stratocaster, you could make exactly the same argument for the basses as you could for player. The big one, obviously, Fender American Performer that's just come out has released a Mustang bass with a proper Mustang pickups, as we spoke about on last week's podcast, with a perloid plate and a jazz pickup in the bridge in some amazing colours. It's an absolutely gorgeous looking bass.
Have you got to play one of those yet?
No. Unfortunately, they're just sort of coming in at the moment. The Mustang is it guitar or bass don't seem to have landed over here just yet. But both of those are fantastic. Fine. My shop didn't get them. But the other product, of course, that Fender released was the Fender Rumble Stage and Studio, which was their version of the Mustang GT, but as a rumble. So we had like a modeling amp specifically for bass, using the same like large single button and rotary control and screen system that you get on the Mustang GT, only voiced for bass. And it was fantastic. And I can't remember what it was. 800? No, was it 8? I want to say 800 watt.
The Studio 40, Stage 800?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Studio 40, Stage 800.
Yeah, that's right. And you know, both combos, but one a completely gig-worthy combo, one a fantastic sort of home use solution, all with all of those built-in effects and preamps. So, you know, when I was having a go on it, I was able to make that, you know, that rumble sound like a great big Ampeg stack. And I think that sort of novelty for bass players is still there a little bit, because we don't get it very often, that sort of modelling.
I don't know, the Line 6 modelling bass amps.
Well, yes, yeah, they absolutely are all there on the Helix.
Oh, yeah, sure.
No, the Helix does have them, but just having them all...
Not in an amp.
No, exactly. In an amp, and in an amp's where I want them to be.
Get Line 6 power cap.
Yeah, it doesn't deal with it doesn't have the frequency range response.
Oh, well,
to
there
work
you go.
The bass.
More useless.
I thought the Rumbles were absolutely amazing. No one else is doing that. No one else has done what the Rumbles have done. I thought it was amazing that they came out. And like I was like, I played them and listened to them, and I was like, these are not... The GTs get very much... The Mustang GTs get painted with this is a great beginner product. I thought the Rumbles were like, this is a pro product, man. These sound great. The amp sims on there were incredible. The effects were, you know, broad and all-encompassing. I thought it was a fantastic amplifier solution. If everyone knows you can't get a good Ampeg at the moment. Well, this had great-sounding Ampeg sounds on it. Just buy the Stage 800. I think they're fantastic. But at the same time,
the question is,
how am I supposed to argue for that and not argue for a Mustang bass? It's not fair.
Well, the question.
See, I agree with Joe.
No.
I do as well.
So there might be two Fender products in one and two. That's weird, isn't it?
Matt agrees as well.
I agree. I think with bass, you've got to be a bit more liberal.
No.
What do you mean, no?
No.
It's three against one.
Fine. This is stupid.
I mean,
I still think maybe the Blackstar Unit is probably the better bass amp.
Okay, so should we start talking about amplifiers?
I think you need to decide which Fender bass you're submitting then.
Right, I've got 2 seconds.
I would say the Mustang American Performer, but you guys all have a say as well.
Talking about the series, the options are, in the American Originals, which obviously they came out earlier and they came out at the start of the year, there's the 60s P bass, 60s jazz bass, 70s jazz bass, and 50s P bass.
I think there a 70s jazz bass?
Yeah, American Original 50s, 70s jazz bass, yeah.
There is a danger here that you go for the American Performer Mustang you have not yet played, and you get shouted down in the final five because you've not played it. So bear that in mind.
I think... In the player series, there's player bass. Sorry, there's P bass, jazz bass,
Jaguar
and then
bass.
Fretless jazz bass, and then Jaguar bass. Yeah, and then in the original, there again is
Mustang.
Do appreciate what you're saying.
We think that's the best thing they've released.
That Mustang
put it in the list. Fine, put it in the list. I'm happy with that. So we've got in the list now. We've not actually talked about the list. Fender American Performer Mustang, Blackstar Unity Combo, Fender Rumble Studio.
Stage.
Stage. We're going to do stage rather than studio. Okay. Yeah. The Reverend Guitars, Michelle Undercello. I think it's Undercello.
Undercello.
Yeah. Pigtronics Philosopher Bass Mini, Squire Contemporary Jazz Active, Ernie Ball Stingray Special, and the Orange Terra Bass. Can I talk about something really quickly before we dive into
it? Sure. If you must.
I want to talk about the Stingray Specials, because I think these have gone under the radar a little bit.
A little bit, haven't they?
We all know what a Music Man Stingray is, and they've been the same for, well, since they became Well, yeah, since they had their first major thing from changing from the three neck bolt to the five bolt neck. And they've kind of stayed the same forever. Like, the ones that I was selling to people in 2001 are kind of the ones that you were buying until recently.
Yeah.
But Ernie Ball have just released the Stingray Special. So what they've done is basically taken the original design, revoiced them with new pickups. So you've got neodymium magnets in the pickups now. They've also switched from a 9 to an 18-volt preamp. So more powerful preamp.
So, you know, we went to the Music Man Factory and saw these just as they were about to be released.
Yeah. They've also done this thing, so they've made the bodies lighter as well. Overall, do we know if they're doing that through, like, chambering, or is it just nicer wood?
The bodies are actually thinner, smaller. They've basically given them a shave. Yeah.
Okay, fine. But it can't be that much because they look the same.
They don't... Up close, I think if you AB'd them, you'd notice...
You could tell when you saw them,
smaller body.
Fine. And I guess, kind of... You forget how thick an old Stingray actually was. They were quite a deep sort of thickness.
I mean, you know, I'm the least bass player
here. Yeah.
And these, I mean, I was also very wowed by the Music Man Factory. It was absolutely incredible. But when you saw these and you saw the passion coming out of, you know, the family, you know, who build it, you're just like, yeah. And I just think, like I said, like slightly thinner, slightly smaller. You picked it up, it felt great. It was just like playing bass version of the guitars I love.
Yeah, the baked maple necks.
Everything is just so down to perfection.
Another thing, because I had a Stingray for a bit, and one of the complaints that I had was like the tuning keys were just not very good. They were like massive, and they just weren't particularly useful.
Yeah, so they've redesigned those.
They've basically taken everything about the Stingray and all the complaints people have had. You know, people love Stingrays, but there have been kind of complaints over the years of like, yeah, they are a bit heavy. Like the one I had, which was like just natural finish. It was just so heavy. It just felt like a big log, you know.
You know, and what I love about Music Man is they're trying to do everything in-house.
Yes.
That like, they're not going, what's a smaller hip shot machine head we could buy? It's like, no, one of the engineering team will build and make a new machine head.
Yeah.
So everything is proprietary.
Yeah, totally. And the pickup is their own still. They've not suddenly decided to put in Seymour Duncan or something like that. So, yeah, I just wanted to give that a shout because I think that's gone under the radar and actually is quite a big change because they've not changed for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And if you guys are saying that you saw them in the flesh and they were really good, then I'm kind of willing to stand by is a cool thing. So, is there anything else that people want to just give us a bit more insight on? Maybe the Squire Contemporary Jazz Active?
Yeah, so it came out at the same time as the contemporary guitars. Very, very similar in design. So there's two series. There's the Contemporary Jazz and then the Contemporary Active Jazz. The non-active comes in metallic blue or metallic red. With you know, obviously Squire passive pickups, and then the active follows suit with the guitars in that they've got these new SQR active pickups.
What does that stand for? Anything in particular? Or?
Yeah, I think it's just an abbreviation of Squire.
Oh, okay, fine.
Squire quality reverbs.
There's no reverb, mate. Squire quality resonance.
Reverb, that'd be great.
Really. A bit of an interesting one. So it's, I think these more so than the guitars are kind of treading on the sort of stomping grounds of people like Ibanez in terms of like metal basses because they're maple neck.
Yeah.
One thing
super unusual for a jazz bass.
I was just looking at it and I was like, oh wait, there's no like metal plate with the controls on. It's like mounted directly onto the body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the jack plate, I was like, oh, yeah, that looks cool. It looks really modern.
Black.
I tell you what, it's the matching headstock for me.
Completely. And that's the theme that runs throughout the contemporary series is they've got that 12-inch radius and the matching headstock. It's just a couple of little features that really do make it a modern, contemporary instrument.
If you wanted to change the pickups in that, for example, are they standard spacing or are they slightly... different.
It looks like they look pretty proprietary.
So like proprietary
I think you'd struggle to switch them out, but right. I guess at a bass at this price, you know, the idea is kind
of you can fit a EMG active pickup.
Maybe
not sure. They're very, very wide.
I would be very surprised if that hasn't been.
I was actually just thinking about taking it out altogether.
Considering the sort of modular, modding platform that
I would have thought so too. It's just the width of those pickups is quite substantial.
The only thing I'm surprised is the placement of the battery box, which is above where the controls are. But I would have thought they would have tried to fit the battery under the plate rather than putting a separate battery box.
Yeah, but then the difference is it's what you can get in that is you can obviously the back plate with a little battery clip in it. But I've found often like they're a bit rubbish. Because the battery clip is mounted on a bit of plastic rather than like inset in the wood itself.
I think that's the only thing cosmetically
the other side of it though is you don't need a screwdriver to change battery.
Exactly.
But you could do like Music Man have done and build that battery box into the back plate.
Yeah, but so what I'm saying is I find that a lot of the time those are a bit flimsy and not great. Whereas this actually is.
I think having the smaller clip-in. Housing is better than having a larger clip-in housing.
Yeah, I'm kind of down with these. You know, what Fender have done is, you know, they've looked at, you know, what kind of custom jazz bass companies have done, which is, you know, a lot of the time they remove the metal plate and they'll have the controls mounted directly on the body and just gone, why don't we do that for like a few hundred quid? And it'd be great.
It's really funny. When we were all at NAMM in January, I overheard the Squire product team giving an interview with someone, some magazine, and they said, oh, it's fantastic what you've done here. Like, you've really taken Squire and turned it into a really modern and accessible sort of metal instrument. And they were just like, I mean, really, all we've done here is we've made it a 12-inch radius and we've made it a matching headstock. Like, it's not that different.
Well, and active pickups and stuff.
And there's active pickups in there, of course. But it is funny that it really isn't a huge deviation from what you would expect. But it makes such a difference in terms of a modern playable instrument, I guess, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Not for everyone. Those active pickups, it's never, you know, hyper-compressed. It's never going to be for everyone, but It's a good thing to have in the range, I think.
I don't think it's going to make the final five, but I want to talk about the Michelle Undicello, which is from Reverend, the latest Reverend signature model.
I think it's great.
Absolutely fantastic. It's essentially, if you imagine the body shape of the Billy Corgan, which has kind of become one of the standard body shapes at Reverend, it's a bass version of that. Single P-bass style pickup in there, concentric volume tone, so there's only one control, but and three color options.
Set neck as well.
And you know, as with everything Reverend, the hardware is super chunky. I would imagine the setup is fantastic. I've not had a chance to play one of these. I think there's going to be very few UK shops who actually carry this, so it can't be in the top five. I just wanted to point it out because Reverend really haven't done much stuff they've done nothing that's made our Gear of the Year list this year apart from this.
Yeah, and I'm sure the Unity color sounds better.
According to Billy Corgan, the Unity colour will sound better.
They've got a white one. That's probably the best one.
Yeah, that's what Billy Corgan says are the best sounding guitars. So do check it out. I just wanted to give a little shout out to Reverend because they are doing some cool stuff.
Wicked brand.
That can knock off the list for now. Can someone fill me in on the Pigtronix Philosopher Bass Mini?
Yeah, sure. But the philosophers
all these vegans just got falafel on the mind the whole time.
The philosopher's bass compressor is something that they've done for ages. They have rehoused that
in a smaller
pedal.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Have they taken off one control? Wasn't the philosopher's tone had five controls, didn't it? If I remember rightly,
did it.
Yeah, and whatever they've controlled and taken off is obviously pointless because the four that are on there, blend, sustain, volume and grit, seem like the four that you would probably want anyway.
Yeah, that's absolutely what you want. I've got a lot of time for this compressor. I think it's very good.
Billy Sheehan use one of these?
Billy Sheehan used to use the guitar version, the Philosopher's Tone, the sort of longer one that they did. And I thought that was a fantastic pedal. The grit feature on here, I think, makes it more than just a compressor. It's a preamp as well as a compressor and sounds fantastic. It certainly was. I always thought this is absolutely Billy Sheehan's sound because that grit control like brings in almost a fizzy distortion underneath everything, which is a very unusual thing to want unless you are sort of finger tapping around on a Yamaha Attitude bass. Yeah, so it's a bit of a weird control. But yeah, I think these are fantastic. I think it's just a mini rehousing, it's possibly not
it's not like wowed anyone in terms of its release, is it? Some people like Pigtronic stuff. Maybe you want a downsized board. I mean, your foot's still the same size, but...
let's talk about the Orange Terabase, because this actually is quite a big deal. So there's been a Terabase out for a while, but the previous version was Class D power amp. Is that right?
Sorry, say it again.
The previous Bass Terra was a Class D power amp.
That's right,
With a valve front end.
With a valve front end.
But now, the most recent one, they've ditched the Class D and have now gone for a solid state power amp.
That's right. They've also added a little gain toggle on the new one. So you can run it quite hot. Or you can, you know, try and keep it clean. Trying to keep these amps clean on the previous versions was something that was quite tricky. But yeah, that's essentially the size of it. They sound great. They've made the EQ much more usable because the EQ literally did nothing on the old one. It didn't matter any of the controls.
You had orange tone.
It sounded like an orange.
I actually played several gigs on bass using a Bass Terra.
Really? There you go. See,
and I actually thought they were wicked.
I would say they were definitely in the line of music I was doing, they have been the most common, most popular amp head I have seen.
I remember when I did I probably did about 20, 30 shows where I played bass, and that was the one bass amp that was like a constant
everywhere
at that show. And actually, I think it's nice to see it's slightly sort of redesigned and bought back in, really.
Yeah. I had listened to one of these because, obviously, you know, my favourite amp of all time is the Little Mark, the first one, which is a solid-state power amp and not a Class D power amp. And I kind of feel that those amps were not as good when they went to a Class D. So it was interesting for me to see the difference now Orange have kind of gone the other way.
Definitely more open, definitely less
100%.
Choked. They introduced this, actually, with a brand-new bass cab, a single 12... lightweight bass cab, which looks fantastic. As with all things Orange, there is a lot of mids going on with all of this gear. A very inescapable.
Isn't that the thing now for bass players, though?
Mids, all the honk, mids. Honk, honk. Well, I guess grunge is kind of in at the moment, isn't it? Yeah. So it is. So yeah, I love the cabs.
I think they might be
the coolest cabs on the market. Mids are definitely the best.
Mids are the best.
No, they're worth pushing.
Mids are the best.
But mids are the best.
Big mid. Scoop the mid.
Not scoop it.
Mark, boost mid, scoop Packham.
Boost the bass, boost the treble. Leave the mid where it is.
Can't wait for the new Random Heroes record.
Leave the mids. Leave the mids where they
turn the mids up.
Okay, one last thing in this category, and then let's talk a little bit about the Blackstar Unity. Joe, have you had a chance to give them a good go?
Yeah, the Blackstar Unities are super cool. I'm about to say that I think, you know, the Fender Rumble stage is the best thing this year, but at the same time, right? I'm going to say with the Unity, I'm going to say, why is anyone making bass combos? but it seems like a weird thing to release. I understand why Fender did it, because it's supposed to be an all-in-one solution. With Blackstar, it's like an entire series of like six or seven different amplifiers all in combos. And I'm kind of a bit like, man, if you were going to release a new range of bass amps when 99% of bass players are sharing a cab at a gig and bringing on and off a head, why wouldn't you release a head version? Why would you release so many different versions of the combo?
This is their first bass amp, right?
Foray into
bass.
Yeah.
It seems like they
started this idea 20 years ago.
Well, it also seems weird that they are going after essentially kind of a practice amp as their first stab at bass amps. If I was them, I would be treading on the modern heritage of what Blackstar is, and making an Ampeg.
Yeah.
You know, make a British made Ampeg. No, that's what they should be doing.
I guess it's more about, you know, if you've got a shop in the middle of nowhere that is a Blackstar dealer, but, you know, doesn't really stock any other bass amps, then providing a small practice bass amp for people to get going on is great.
Fair point.
What they perhaps should have done is do a head as well.
Yeah.
If they stand behind how these amps sound, then maybe there should be a head in the line as well as
one
the
one thing
stuff.
That is an excellent argument for what you've just said is Ashdown literally made their entire name from themselves by making affordable combos that then turned up in every single practice room and small venue in the country.
Well, to replace the Trace Elliots that were there the generation before.
Yeah, of course, exactly. Blackstar are very much, I guess, if you think about it like that, yes, you're absolutely right. These are small dealerships starter players. That, you know, Black Star are hoping people are going to buy into these Unities as their first amp, in the same way that Ashdown got so many like young players from it being everyone's first amp as we were growing up. Maybe the same thing will happen with the Unity. I still think they should have had a head, because I think even when you're starting out, when you're playing shows, you're probably supporting someone and they've probably got a cab that you'll be sharing, and you're expected to bring your own head. Trying to bring
it comes back to the idea that there's not that many people gigging.
True. That is a great point. I actually think the Unity has some great features on it. It has some real essentials, like really aimed at sort of young players or beginners, in that it has a built-in compressor and it has a built-in drive, and the drive has three separate voices. You can run it like a classic, a modern, or a flat sort of EQ'd voice, which is very, very cool. So
I tell you one other thing, they look fantastic. I love that they've just put the logo there, which I think is a new logo.
Well, as opposed to the
name Black Star, they've just put their logo, which is a black star.
Yeah,
I think it looks really classy.
Well, their new logo is also the word black and then a star. They've stopped writing star. So
I'm into it. I think it's cool. Having said that, we've got seven things on this list, and we need five things on this list. So, is there anything that we think doesn't make the cut straight away?
Maybe the bass mini, the Philosopher's Bass Mini.
That was the first thing that jumped to mind with me, the Pigtronics Philosopher Bass Mini.
It's not really a top five.
How do we feel about losing that?
Yeah, let's lose that.
Fine. That means we've got one more thing to cut. Is there anything that is a lock?
For me, I know I'm the most un-bass person here, but having seen them, played them, and been to the factory, to me it's the Ernie Ball. I think because they've really gone, it's so difficult when you've got a legacy product to then go, we really do need to modernise this, but we don't want to upset people.
And they've listened to the things, you know, a lot of the feedback you get from people who, you know, maybe end up like buying a Jazz or a P-Bass is like, oh, I tried this thing now, it was really heavy and like, yeah, it's just like felt a bit unwieldy. And if they've, like you say, shaved a bit off the body and made them a bit lighter, fantastic.
I mean, you look at all the basses that some like modern djent bands and stuff that are moving to, like ridiculous ding walls and things like that. They need it to look contemporary and have that contemporary feel, and I think they've done that.
Yeah, and you know, the improvement in the pickups, improvement in the machine heads, they're all improvements that I think have been a long time coming on the Stingray. Jay Cross, what would you lock?
The Mustang. I think it's the first time that there's a proper Mustang bass available.
American Performer Mustang.
I appreciate... we're going off spec here because I haven't tried one, but the fact that you've got that proper middle position split coil is something that people, you know, people in this room, let alone people in the outside world, have been crying out for years.
Are they in shots? Because I'm sure I saw this bass in Germany, but I might be wrong.
I think the first lot's gone out. Yeah, I think so.
I'm pretty sure I saw one in the shop in Germany and I thought it looked amazing.
Joe B, what's the lock?
The lock's the Rumble Stage.
Rumble's two Fender products, blimey. Okay, so in that case, I'm going
to
lock...
I can't believe Jay Cross got to pay more money than me. It's totally unfair.
I'm going to... got to do what?
Pay more money than me. Yeah. Sponsoring the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Right, I see.
I'm going to lock the Orange Terror bass because I tried one and it sounded fantastic, and I think it is genuinely a massive improvement on the previous ones. And I kind of feel like it's the best product on this list. I think that, like... how many people bought the original Terror Bass and now there's a new, better version that's not loads of money? Mm-hmm. It just sounds better. It makes more sense to me. I think that would do it. So we've got two left. We've got the Black Star Unity and the Squire Contemporary Jazz Active. What are we saving?
I think we should defer this to Joe, to be honest with you. I've not tried the Black Star. I don't know. I have tried the Contemporaries. I think they're good. They're not for me. It's not my cup of tea. I understand why they exist, and I think it's good.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Looking at just the web pages and kind of reading about it, and you going back to, obviously, the stage has got a lot of modelling in it that gives you that Ampeg sound, but it sounds like the Blackstar is designed to just do that. It's very, very simple, but they're going, we're going at a 6L6 style power stage and we're trying to make something much more vintage. It that feels like I'd rather have that over
the Active Jazz.
The Active Jazz.
Joe B, what are you thinking?
I'm willing. I think the.
But then I really like the contemporary jazz. But then maybe I'd probably have the Unity over the stage. Maybe.
I think there are plenty of other bass guitars that we didn't pop on this list,
such as.
He can't think of anything now.
That wasn't me trying
the
to be
Stonefield Stinger. Yeah.
I can't believe the Stinger bass. Didn't get. That was like. Yeah. Oh no, it was this year.
It was this year. Yeah.
I think it would be fair to put the Blackstar Unities on here.
Wow, okay, fine. That's totally not what I was expecting you to say at all. So we're saying goodbye to the Squire Contemporary Active Jazz. And then I guess we need to put these in an order, really. Has anyone got a preference for number one on the list? I guess they'll be the ones that we just said, right? So
yeah.
So is anything we think should be fifth? Maybe Blackstar Unity, because none of us said it as our first one. Okay. So let's go with that at number five. Then, how are we feeling about the rest of the list?
This is more difficult because this is obviously an area where, as much as I really hate to admit it, Joe has the upper hand
on
us.
This is the only area in life where he's got more knowledge than most people.
I would only be really, a lot of it would be me basing on what I would buy, and I would buy the Stingray. If I had to go in to a bass shop now and buy a bass.
A bass shop.
They don't exist. Some fishing.
Bass shops.
Bass and tackle.
Can I say, I don't feel comfortable putting the American Performer Mustang anywhere higher than fourth because none of us have tried it. We all think it looks super cool. We've seen the quality of the other American Performers, but we haven't tried this particular bass. So I don't think it can be top three.
I'm willing to give you that.
How do we feel about that?
Yeah,
it's pretty academic, but there's kind of nothing we can do about that. So we've got a top three then. Fender Rumble Stage, Orange Terror Bass, and Ernie Ball Stingray Special. Any preferences for number three, Matt?
I don't know. I mean, it was really between the Terror Bass and the Rumble Stage, and I'd probably buy a Terror Bass over a Rumble Stage.
I'd really like to put together a
Fender agenda continues
the
to
Fender agenda
continues to band. We'll play push Gibson's. Through
the big boss versus the Fender agenda.
I'd like to put forward an argument for the Rumble Stage.
What being number one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just because I think my overall theme for this year's Gear of the Year was looking for things that were unique or things that changed something, that changed the game or offered more. And I think the Rumble Stage is something that was one of the first products that's an all-in-one modelling and effects unit for bass players that can be used live, not just for rehearsal. It's very, very good. It sounds great. It's something that bass players have not had access to before. And yeah, it's a brilliant product. I agree that the Stingray is fantastic, an excellent modernization. Listening to the public, brilliant idea. The Terror Bass for me,
what?
Sorry,
terrible idea.
Yeah, the Terror Bass for me is great. I wasn't that big a fan of the sound of them the first time round, and that's maintained the same this time round. I think it's an affordable.
I don't think that's fair. I think they sound a fair bit better than
I'm literally saying sort of personally, I find their tone shaping not that great. That doesn't mean I don't think they're a really important, really good product. I just never use one, and for that reason I can't put it top two.
J-Cross?
The Rumble's just given a lot more to what essentially is a re-release of an old product where they've added a drive switch.
Yep.
It's a little outside my wheelhouse, to be honest with you. I mean, I also was never a big fan of the Orange Terabase. I thought that the AD200
is fantastic.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And
Great guitar amp as well.
Yeah, but I think that is unbelievable and really untouchable when it comes to high wattage amps. But the Terabase has never been my favorite. The Stingrays I thought looked great when we first talked about them on Gear of the Year. When we first talked about them on the podcast, I've not seen them IRL. And the Rumble Stage, again, just not something that I'd use in general. But I think it's a cool product.
Can I just say something? I actually think we've made potentially the wrong choice with the Stage. I think the smaller one is the better
Studio
choice. Because I think that's the one that's going to reach the more amount of players who are going to inspire.
Yeah.
I can't see many bass players who get to a gigging level using the Stage.
It's also quite a lot of money. The 638 quid.
I think more people would use the Studio, which is the smaller one, and I think that would inspire more bass players.
How do we feel about a list that reads Black Star Unity, American Performer Mustang, Orange Terabase?
Wait, Blackstar Unity first?
No.
You're going in reverse.
Fifth. Yeah, Blackstar Unity fifth. American Performer Mustang fourth. Third is the Orange Terabase.
Yeah.
Second, Fender Rumble Studio. First, Ernie Ball Stingray Special.
I mean, I'm happy with that, but I...
How would we feel about that?
I can get behind that.
Because it means the Fender Studio... Because I think going with the Studio is a better idea than going with the Stage. And I think, for me, if we were going with the Stage, that would be fourth on the list. But the Studio, I can see more applications for what it is.
Very well. I can't, but I disagree. I think it's got a wider thing, but I'm willing to...
But like Matt was saying, and like you said earlier with the argument about, you know, taking your own amp, if you're at the point where you're gigging, are you going to lug a massive combo with you?
That's what was confusing me, because I was running through my head and I was like, hold on, we're saying that if you're at the gigging point, you've got a Blackstar, you wouldn't take a Blackstar Unity, they should have made a head, then surely... That's why when I was actually looking at it,
But this is an effect solution as well.
But I was expecting to see the Rumble Stage as a head and the Studio being the combo.
Right, yeah.
And I was like, because the way you were talking about the Blackstar, and then I saw it, I was like, oh, doesn't make sense.
I'm comfortable with the Ernie Ball Stingray Special winning and the Fender Rumble Studio coming second. How does everyone feel about that?
Cool with that.
Should have gone with the... Player P bass.
Yeah, that's the thing. I told you. I said that going American Performer Mustang's a gamble because it basically can't win. No.
You said it's a gamble because we might decide that we can't put it at the top, and then it came to it, and you went, "Well, we're not putting it at the top."
Well, I mean, I told you up front.
So, but like once you said that,
if you want to make an argument for putting something at the top that none of us have seen in the flesh or played. And I have actually reservations the fact that it's two pickup, which is kind of not correct. By all means, make that argument. But for me, it sits right in fourth place.
Sure thing.
There we go.
Sure thing. So Dictator Packham.
We'll get rid of this category and move on to the best category of Gear of the Year.
Listener's Choice. Oh. I thought we should just run through Listener's Choice really quickly. So congratulations to the Fender Rumble Studio and Ernie Ball Stingray Special for winning getting through that category. I wanted to talk about Winner's Choice next before we have a break. Listener's Choice.
Winner's Choice.
Our listeners are all winners.
Cutter's Choice.
So the Cutter's Choice category. No, I wanted to do this. Then we'll have a quick break. Then we'll talk about 2018's best product to 2017. We'll wrap this up and we'll come back tomorrow and then we'll do the final showdown.
Oh, my word.
So Listener Choice, we threw it open to Facebook and Patreon and Twitter and Instagram to get some nominations, and there were five nominations, and I'm going to
what happened was we put out...
Sorry, there were loads of nominations. We picked the five highest.
And
then put
people
it through
voted on those.
To a Facebook poll in the Facebook group. And in reverse order, the results were, at number five, the Benson Vincent 30.
Didn't even make our top five pedals.
It's an amp.
Top
That's
five
why.
Amps. I was thinking of the preamp.
In four, the Boss DC2W. In three, the Charvel ProMod DK24. In two, the Fender Player Stratocaster.
Oh, I've always liked those people.
And in number one, the Line 6 HX Stomp. So actually, normally we'd pass the two winners through to the final, but turns out they're already there.
Yeah.
With the HX Stomp winning the multi-effects category.
Does that mean we've got less things to get rid of?
I think we might have.
Time.
Yeah. We're going to have, what, 8, 9 things? No, 10 things. 10 things. No, 12 things to fight over.
So just to have a look at the listener's choice in a little bit more detail, the Benson Vincent 30, which is an amp I haven't used, so I don't know anything about it.
Unfortunately, I don't think they're
you can't
easy.
Get them.
I don't think you can get them in the UK at the moment, which is a shame.
Oh, right, okay. Well, there we go. Then there's the DC2W, which Mark said shouldn't have been up there.
Yeah.
Listeners disagree. Then there's the Charvel, which we put up there. The Strat, which we should have put first, but you guys are idiots. Like, I agree with the listeners. Our fantastic, genius listeners.
And then
the HX Stomp, which me and Joe were fighting for. And again, you guys were pissing against the wall.
That DC2W is still winding me up. Still annoying.
I'm going to buy you one for Christmas.
Thanks. Do we want a straight on rebound? Do you want a break, or do you want to go straight into 2018's product of 2017?
I'm happy to go.
Let's plow through.
Keep on rolling, baby.
So 2018's best product of 2017 is the category where we look at the last year's top products. There's actually 9 here, I guess, probably because something won listener's choice again, as well as also going through.
Yeah, right.
So we've got 9 products from the categories that won, that got through last year, and we're going to talk about what held up and what didn't held up. And I think
what
didn't hold up. sorry, we've been podcasting for a long time.
Yeah.
And I think we just crowned one overall winner on this because none of these are going through to the final.
I think they should go through to the final.
If
one of last year's products.
This is a fantastic list of products. We had a good one last year.
Last year was very, very strong.
Next year, we're going to look back on this and be like, ooh.
No. This year's got some strong products. So let's run down the 2017 products. So Ernie Ball, Sterling, James Valentine, the Boss MS3, EVH 5153, 15-watt LBX2.
Rubbish.
Electroharmonix Canyon.
Yes.
The Epiphone SL.
Best guitar ever.
Tate FX Brexit.
Yeah.
BMB Drive, it's now called. The Orange Rocker 32.
Yeah. Yep.
The Echoline Everest Drive.
Best pedal ever.
And the Fender Offset Mustang Bass.
Oh, I love a Mustang.
Clearly.
Wait, Fender Offset Mustang Bass, also then a Mustang this year.
Right.
There we go.
Yeah, because Mustang Bass.
Mustangs are cool.
Right. So what are we going to cut?
I think. Oh, well, are we doing it that way?
Cut and shut.
I think we've got to cut.
I think.
Do you know what? It's funny looking at a lot of these and I'm going. Oh, they're good products, but I don't think...
Here's one. Right, what we'll do is we'll go from the start and I'll go, has it held up?
Yeah,
you say yes or no. That's the answer. Ernie Ball, Sterling, James Valentine, has it held up?
I think not only has it held up, it's proved itself as to be like a modern classic.
Yeah.
Boss MS3, has it held up?
Yeah, of course.
I think so.
Absolute game changer. Oh,
that said, we talked about this a little bit beforehand before we were podcasting. I'm not sure that the MS3 has held up quite as well as the ES series has.
Okay, I don't think. Keep that opinion. You just need to say yes or no right now.
Keep that opinion to yourself.
Keep that opinion.
Yeah, Jay, keep it to yourself.
We can use that when it comes down to deciding what's won. EVH 5153, 15-watt LBX2, has it held up?
I think it's held up, but I do think that we made a mistake in going for the EVH over the Orange last year in terms of amps.
Matt, am I cutting it?
The thing is, we actually said earlier when we cut the EVH this year's one that we were like, oh, we had a lunchbox last year and it was great.
And it was great and it is a great amp, but I still think at the time we should have gone with the Orange over the EVH.
I'm cutting it. Electroharmonix Canyon.
Yeah, I mean, what an absolutely amazing delay.
Have people stopped talking about it though?
Whoa!
Canyon came third last year, didn't it?
Fourth.
No, I think it came third.
Maybe it came third, maybe. I don't know.
I think that came third and the EVH came fourth.
It's a wonderful, wonderful...
Everest Drive was fifth.
Modulated delay, octaving delay tails.
I think it was very... here's an electronics pedal. And then everyone's like, yay. And then it's like, next week, here's another electronics. And I kind of feel people are leapfrogging away.
No, I don't think so.
It's still one of the best delay pedals you can get.
Let's keep it on there for now. Epiphone SL.
Again, we talked about this afterwards. We, made the wrong choice. You should have gone with the Mustang.
I actually forgot this guitar even existed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting rid?
Yeah. I think once we talked about him a lot over this week's worth of podcast, but once Ryan ran out of videos to do on the Epiphone SL, I think
everyone just forgot about it.
Yeah,
yeah. Tate FX BMB drive.
A fantastic drive pedal. There are a lot of drive pedals out there, though.
A lot of people have started to pick up on it.
I also think that Tate have released some better products. Now,
I would agree.
I really like the Antares, really nice, and also the Raise the Dead has come out since then as well, which we all really like as well. So... I think
he's grown as a builder. That was his first pedal, his first project. So.
Yeah, I think we lose that for now. Cool. Orange Rocker 32.
I actually forgot this existed until I went to a shop the other week. I was like, oh yeah, and I remember loving it though. I think they're great amps.
I'm not sure that it's like quite a modern classic, but I think it's a good amp.
Yeah,
and we keeping it or cutting it?
Keep it for now.
Echoline Everest drive.
Yes, 100%. Should have won last year.
Echoline should have won two years running.
He's obviously, because I think recently they announced they're going through some like changes, aren't they?
Yeah,
they
sold a lot. Changes.
Exactly like that. And they're getting rid of a lot of those and they're bringing other stuff in. So I'm thinking like he's kind of gone, I'm going to do something better.
Totally. I think the Everest drive's got to go. Fender Offset Mustang bass.
I forgot this also existed.
Me too.
What do you mean you forgot this existed? It's the most popular bass at the moment.
I just think Fender released so much other stuff.
But nothing is popular. Everyone's buying them. All the kids are playing them.
They're still super popular. Mate, they're quality.
They're the most popular bass at
Gap. It stays on the list. So we've got a cut one. We've got four left. The Sterling James Valentine, the Boss MS3, Electronics Canyon, and the Fender Offset Mustang.
You just deleted the orange.
Did we say we were keeping the orange?
We did, yeah.
Okay, well, which one should we delete now?
The orange.
Okay. There we go. Save me a job. Right, so we've got four left. Matt, if you had to cut one, what would it be?
I don't know. Thing is, I love the Valentine. And I love the MS3, so it's one of the other products.
Well, the thing is, do we need to...
I'm not saying this is getting cut. What I'm saying is, you say it, and then if someone else says it, then we cut it.
Should we just pick top two? All right.
No, we need to pick top one.
All right.
Oh, right.
Pick your top one, that's then. The Valentine, then.
Yeah.
What, for everyone?
No. What's your top one? Matt Knight.
I'm trying to weigh up, really, over the last 12 months. What made a bigger impact to me, and I do love the Valentine.
I think that the Valentine and the MS3 are both great products.
They're the top two.
I agree.
So if I got rid of the Canyon and the Mustang bass from this list.
Yeah, it's fine. I think the thing is, my thoughts on this category, though, is it isn't so much a competition about what is
legacy,
which is what you're trying to make it. You're trying to rush it through as a competition, which isn't what it is. It's supposed to be a reflection on what these products are now in comparison to what we thought they would be this time last year.
Well,
yeah. And I think what we've done is just gone about it the wrong way by just deleting stuff.
No, it's not deleting. What I'm saying is, okay, let's go back and, you know, if we think about the Fender Offset Mustang bass, yeah, great. But Fender have released tons and tons of basses since then that are all really good.
I think still sits on a sort of pedestal above a lot of the other things that have come out because it is different. I'm not saying that it's the best bass that Fender that anybody's ever released. I'm not saying that at all. But that's not what this is for me. For me, is this product still relevant in 2018 like it was in 2017? The Valentine, absolutely. I think the Valentine has genuinely solidified itself as a real stalwart of guitar shops and will continue to, and that guitar will be there for as long as Ernie Ball can keep a contract with James Valentine.
Okay.
The MS3, I am less convinced of. I think that I still think it's a great product, and I actually have been considering buying one. But if you look at what other products Boss have put out in that period of time, I don't think the MS3 has held up as like held itself in the way that the ES5 and ES8
well,
did.
Well, I think the ES8 is the most important.
I would say I think
probably the RE20.
I think
most important boss product.
I'd say I think because it opened the market to a much wider audience, and I think the only thing the MS3 does have going for it, but also is a negative, is the fact that it's got effects built in, and I think people see that and go, I don't want that.
Yeah,
They just want the three loops.
Playing in a genre where everyone does have massive pedal boards, people who use DS8s switch to MS3.
I know, this is the other thing.
The MS3 has had a massive impact, certainly in you know the pedal boards that I see, and for what it's worth, from a retailer perspective, in January we got in four James Valentines. We've got four James Valentines right now. So
really?
So what we're saying isn't, it's not like, has it stood the test of time? It's like, we like it. If we want to give it the award because we like it, that is cool. But people aren't buying James Valentines.
I guess
it's
the question,
not a popular guitar.
The question for me, and the way I'd see it, is like, if someone offered you these products now, and obviously take value out of it, which one of these would you like to have? The Valentine would still be the one that I would want.
Absolutely. Same.
There is an argument to say, okay, well, probably the biggest seller out of all of these is the offset Mustang bass.
Well, no, probably the biggest seller is probably the Canyon.
Actually, almost definitely.
Yeah, but I'm not sure that's true because there's so many other pedals that do what the do the Canyon thing, and even in Electronics' own range.
Taking delay tails, nothing does that.
Yeah, but I mean, not that one specific effect, but you know, like a delay that's got multiple sounds on it that's about £100 and something. You know, I don't think that stands out in pack as much as something like, you know, if you're saying that the offset Mustang bass is very, very popular still, that's a pretty good achievement for a short scale bass that, you know, is pretty niche.
I think the thing is that I don't think the James Valentine's going to evolve into anything else, but maybe things like the Canyon, the MS3, and obviously the offset Mustang bass have evolved into other products because the offset Mustang bass has proven really popular that Fender have got a whole bunch of new products because they're like, loads of people want Mustangs.
I think it's
the same with Canyon. Loads of people have bought Canyon.
And I think if you take if you don't just focus on that one product and you just look at the offset series as a whole, I think that, you know, you take those Mustangs, the Geosonics, and it's just that range was just so popular and brought a high quality Mexico made Fender to a group of people who maybe wouldn't have gone for that sort of guitar in the past.
But one thing I think that's different about this year compared to the other years that we've done this is we've often looked back at the winner and gone, my favourite thing of these things now. And the James Valentine is still my favourite thing of these things.
If that's
now.
What the criteria is.
Yeah.
I think it has to be Guitar Nerds.
If the criteria is do we like it or has it stood the test of time, are two different
questions. It's not do we like it because, we obviously like all these things because they were in there. But it's more like, do we look back on things like, you know, when we put the Echoline pedal through as number one, or was it number one or number two?
It was number one.
Number one 1 year. And the next year, we went through and said, actually, that probably wasn't the best thing that year.
Well, didn't that beat the Katana?
Yes, I think it did. We look back.
Fools.
We looked back at it in the next year and went, we made the wrong decision here. I still absolutely stand by we made the right decision
last
year.
And I think that the MS3 is probably still the second best product.
Yeah. Yep, I totally agree. I totally agree. So are we going to award the Ernie Ball Sterling James Valentine 2018's best product of 2017?
Yeah.
Despite my shop having never sold one, yes.
I think that says way more about you personally than the shop.
Not the shop. Joe Branton. With that, we should wrap this one up. That's been the final day of the deliberations for the categories for Gear of the Year 2018. So tomorrow we are going into the final where we are talking about whether the Charvel DK24, the Fender Player Strat, the Boss DC2W, the Thorpey Dane, the Line 6 HX Stomp, the Boss GT1000, the Milkman the Amp, the Fender Hot Rod 4 Pro Junior, the Ernie Ball Stingray Special, the Fender Rumble Studio, the Dunlop Mini ISO Brick, or the Omek Teleport are the best gear of the year.
Wow.
Join us tomorrow for some fun and games. Bye-bye.
Cheers, gang.
Farewell.